Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and as one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We just ask you now to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place to continue to just minister. Lord, I ask you to use this vessel tonight, Lord, that you'd impart into it what it's supposed to say, that you would direct this entire gathering tonight. And we just give you all the glory and the honor, Lord. We just lift you up, Jesus. We recognize you as the head of your church. You are Lord and King of this place. And we thank you, Lord, that you've rested here tonight, that you've come in great demonstration of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you'd shake us to the core tonight, Lord God, that we'd leave here not the same, but changed and renewed into your image. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I just want to encourage you tonight that I really feel strongly that, you know, like in anything, you know, when I was younger and I would go to different meetings, there was always a reason for me to go to them. It wasn't just I was just showing up, you know, because, you know, when after you get, you know, really serious about God and you're really seeking him, and you just like to be around other believers, you know, and you would go, and it was always amazing to me that the attitude that I had when I would go to these meetings is God was going to speak. And when we have that attitude, he does. We draw, put a demand upon the anointing. And even, you know, as an athlete, you know, when I was coaching, and you know, you got athletes there, they want to be really good. I found myself coaching and things coming out of me as a coach that I didn't even know because of their attitude. And so when we come before the Lord with the right attitude, he shows up and he gives us something that we need. And so he'll give you something tonight that you really needed to hear, or that you really needed for your journey. Something that would strengthen you, something that would encourage you, something that would transform you. Because it's about the revelation of who he is that really brings you into change in your life. When you know him as healer, when you know him as deliverer, when you know him as encourager, when you know him as strengthener, when he reveals himself to you by his presence and his power, you're changed internally. Because he's always after our hearts. And your heart, when it's open to be taught and you become teachable, that's when you get past of just being the duty of a Christian into the place of obedience, someone that's willing to obey him. Because we all can be duty Christians, you know, we're commanded to love one another. And out of duty, we can love one another. But when we're willingness and we come into this presence to allow him to saturate us with his presence, then the love that we have for people is no longer a human love, but it's a divine love that comes through us and edifies those around us, but also can pierce the very darkness in people's lives, that he takes our mouth, he takes our eyes, that we see and perceive other people as he sees them. And when we see them as he sees them, we can begin to speak into their lives, because he always speaks into the potential of someone's life. And then he takes your mouth and he puts a word in it that has something beyond just the human word. It's a divine word. It's a word straight from heaven. And when you deliver that word, it's his word, and his word goes into that individual and it changes them. When Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity," she was loosed. And you are loosed back there. I don't know if that was an amen or what it was. Praise God. In Luke, actually, you know what? I'm in Matthew 24 real quick. We're gonna go wherever he says go. That's what we're going to do tonight. I had a message prepared, but it'll hold. My message will hold, and his will. In Matthew 24, in verse 14, it says, "And this good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So just know this, the end comes when? After the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the nations.
The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, by the way, not that man preached, that Jesus preached. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. I would submit to you that the gospel of the kingdom being preached to the ends of the earth is the last trumpet. So, what's that mean? What time are we in? What signs are we in? What is the time and the hour that we're living in terms of the time clock of God? I go on YouTube and I see so many things on YouTube. I don't think there's anything real on YouTube anymore. I'm getting to the point where it's just so much AI stuff, and you know, it's the rapture's happening on this day and that day, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and you know, it can get overwhelming, you know. And I just tend to kind of open up my Bible and go to the scripture, and you know, that day's not going to overtake us. The day of the Lord is not going to overtake you or me. It says that in scriptures. The brightness of his coming is going to be seen within all of us. And if the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to the end of the earth, and then the end will come, that same gospel with the power of God, that Jesus said, you know, greater works that you shall do. You see these works, and greater works you do. So we see greater works, but who's God going to use to send to the nations? He's going to use you. So if he's going to use us, he's going to prepare us. You don't just take an army into war without first taking them to boot camp. And so if we're sensitive to the Lord, and we know that we're living in the end of days, if we're in the end of days, that must mean he is preparing us to do some great thing in the earth, because he loves humanity. He went to the cross to die for what's not some men, but all men and women. Thank God for the women. And so we know his will. And if that's his will, wouldn't it be just and righteous for God to actually use his children that he assaulted strategically, like a general would all over the planet, to simultaneously in one day speak to them and say, go out in my power, in my glory? You think it's possible for the Lord God to turn the power up in us to the place where we just light up like Isaiah saw it? Isaiah 60 said, he said, the glory will be seen on us. So if that is going to take place, I would submit to you that we are in a training phase. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 40, it says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. A pupil is not superior to his teacher. The first thing that you and I enter into when we come into the presence of God is we recognize that we are not superior to him. Now, what means that is something that obviously everybody would say that, you know, I'm not superior to God, but we have to behave like that we're not superior to him. We don't know the better way. He knows the way. One thing I used to like to say to my athletes is that, yes, you know, I am the coach, you're the athlete, and I've got the map. Well, God has the map for you and for me. In fact, he's got your life already written out. And that's what it says in Psalm 139, that he has written our life out. So there's books written about you and about me. Wonder what those books say. You are to fulfill the very things that God has written about you. And it's you. It's your mission to seek that out. Your mission should become into greater clarity today than it did 5 years ago. Now, we don't know everything, but certainly Jesus, when he was on the earth, he knew that he was set to the cross. He knew his mission. He came and he stripped himself of all his godly qualities, did he not? And he came and took on flesh, because a man had to redeem mankind. He did no act as God. The Father did the works through him. Satan tempted him to do an act of God, did he not? He was God in the flesh, and he was tempted, but he came as a man anointed by the Father to demonstrate to you and me exactly how we're to walk. We're anointed by Jesus. The scripture says that anointing permanently is in us forever, for eternity. And it teaches us to abide him, to abide in him, to stay in him, to stay close to him. That's what the anointing teaches you and me to do. So he is teaching us and he is training us. He is readjusting you and me. What kind of adjustments are you going through right now? I'm going through adjustments. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit brings adjustments into our life. Some things stop working. That's usually an indicator you're going through an adjustment. Sometimes you're frustrated. That usually means you're going through an adjustment. Sometimes you get impatient. That means you're going through an adjustment. Whatever it is that's hitting you, that is upsetting you, you're going through an adjustment because God is shaking things up in the earth so that what cannot be shaken comes up to the surface. And so when you are tested and you're tried and go through these trials, it's always to impart something into you that creates his image within you, because he is the author and the finisher of that. And so you are uniquely trained. You've got a personal trainer. You don't have to go out and buy one now. You've got one. And when you recognize and you know how he's training you, and he wants to share that with you. You know, I used to always go, my athlete said, this is what we're working on today. I'd write out the workout and I'd put it up on the board, and you know, and I'm just Todd. And do you think the Holy Spirit would do that? Yes. You think he would show you how yes, he would. And you know what? You can write it out and put it right on your mirror. I get up in the morning, I see it right on my mirror every morning. Trust me. Whatever it is that he's teaching you. And you know when you look at it, it's a reminder to you, oh, so he's training me in trust. That means I'm going to have some opportunity today to trust him. And that opportunity will come up. And you'll trust him. And then maybe you even have a thought of how to trust him. And now your ear is opening up to hear his voice because you're working with the Holy Spirit. When you know how God is training you and he's directing you and you're doing what you think you hear him saying, your ear is being fine-tuned to hear the word of the Lord. And that refinement is always going on. You don't ever really completely arrive to like, I've arrived, but you get better. There's no other way to get it. Trained, readjusted, restored. Some of us are going through restoration. You know, sometimes you feel like you've been through a press, you know, where the pressures of life just like cave in on you all of a sudden, and there's no human solution for it. Only God can bring you through. And that pressure, that time, you know, I don't know about you, I call it numb. Just when you get numb over a circumstance or a situation you cannot control. And you're just numb. And that restoration of God comes to you. And the restoration of the Lord, it brings not just hope, it brings a creativity within your spirit to perceive and see change, not just in your life, but also where you're going. Because it always opens up the future to you. Because it's designed that way. The Holy Spirit wants to show you things to come. You see, everything you see has Jesus operate. Of course, he had the anointing without measure. It says that he only speaks the words of Father, gets the anointing without measure. So the way to increase the power of God in your life and my life is to speak the words of Jesus, and that increases the anointing in your life. As you get that trained ear and you recognize and realize that every day counts. No matter what you do, no matter where you're positioned, no matter where you're at, you have an opportunity every day to walk in that anointing that is on your life permanently and to demonstrate the word of the Lord through you and direct it. Maybe God is just calling you to get on your knees and pray. God may put people before you. He may send people to you, whatever it might be. But exercise it. So he brings restoration. Set to rights. You know, sometimes we have situations in our life that just aren't right. You know, we've been done wrong by people. Well, how you react to that is very important. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, do we turn the other cheek? When God says, love your enemies, can you love your enemies? We just saw an assassination of Charlie Kirk where his wife got up in a matter of days and forgave the person that shot her husband. How do you do that? Only by the Lord. How could you even stand up in front of that many people when the love of your life was murdered right in front of your eyes? How do you do that? By God. What a tremendous witness that was. How hard is that? That's I don't know whether I could have done that. I have total respect. And those were the right things, because that has been taught in this place many times, where I have said to you, to have a vision of looking at people through the eyes of Jesus on the cross. Not looking at him and say, there's forgiveness. I mean, looking through his eyes on the cross when he looked at humanity and says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he said it not just for the hell of the future, but also in the past. He got up and made sacrifice for it all. And we're to follow that. Those very words were just incredible to sit there and witness that. And that's the kind of thing that sparks the power of God in somebody's life. But it sparks the world, because it says, Jesus said, they'll know you by the love you have for one another, that I am real. The love we have for another is a witness that God exists. The scriptures bear that out. So we need, many times we need to be set to rights and perfected. Oh gosh, think about that. How many people have ever wanted to be perfect in here? I mean, you know, if I could just be perfect, it would be great. You know, but there's no, you know, what is perfection? Perfection is not how, you know, a perfect church is not how many people that it has. It's how much of his image does it bear. That's perfection. And so it's his image. How much of his image is shining through your life? And you know that it is. You know that he's changed you. It's not, this isn't something that's guesswork. You know you're different. I mean, you know you're peculiar, at least. You know, you thought you were weird when you were young, but you were just peculiar. And that's okay. We're a group of peculiar people. We're not normal. It's not normal to want to be the best at something. But that's what God puts inside of you and me. He puts that standard. And that standard is a motivation that wants to not strive in the terms of earning it, but wanting to be like him. Because we admire him. Because when you have somebody, that's why God gets so jealous. We serve a jealous God, by the way. He doesn't like it when we look at other, I mean, he doesn't like that stuff. But when we want to be like him, to idolize him, that's okay. That's good, because that means we want to be like him. I mean, when we sit there and we see how he handled people, how he, you know, just how I shared last week, how he handled the woman that pressed in behind and just and touched him, and how he handled her. You know, it's just amazing how he watched the widow that just put in just a little bit of money and talked about her, that she would be recorded in the scriptures and millions of people would read that of her giving out of her heart. The way he picked his disciples, the people that he picked throughout, you know, history, that were just normal Joes like we are, you know, just not anybody special, you know. And Noah's a drunk, well, you're hired. You know, Moses killed somebody. I can use you. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, you look at the people, Peter the fisherman, you know, I mean, the people that he picked. Because he didn't look like man looked. He was looking down at the heart of people. There's something inside of you that God views as gold. That's how he sees you. He doesn't just love you. He's for you. And he is building you up. He sees that you want to be a part of his move in the earth. See, that's something that he put inside you. I'd like to be a part of that. I know there's more than just going to a church. I know there's more. I'm reading this stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, some of you in here will be ready to pop because he's been filling you up. And you just know, I've got to do more than this. There's more. I know there's more. Well, yeah, there is more. And it's outside the walls. And when you start to pour out what's been pouring inside of you, you'll start to see his glory manifest as he changes people around you. It's always, I love bringing words. You know I do. I love bringing words to individual people. I love it. I enjoy it. I'm like the delivery boy bringing a little package, you know, like the UPS guy. And it's Christmas, and you go here, and I don't really get to read the mail. I don't even know, I can't remember it a lot of times, but it's amazing to see how he impacts people. It's so cool how God does that. I don't understand even how it works, but it does. And you have that. You are filled up with so many gifts. You have gifts inside of you that you don't even know about yet. That's why it says in the scriptures to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And to desire them means it's something that you're thinking about. It's something that you're meditating on. It's something that you know that you need because you are aware of the demand that's out there. And believe me, there's a big demand. Truth is a real commodity right now. Just truth alone, because the deception that's in our earth right now is so great. In the book of Malachi, it says in chapter 3, it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests." Who are the priests today? We are the sons of Levi, and refine them like what? Like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. And what is right? What is the offering of righteousness? The offering of righteousness is righteous deeds. It's the deeds. You have so many assignments and so many deeds. Just ask God. Just go to pray and just say, "Lord, what are my deeds?" It says in your word that there are works prepared before the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. So that must mean you have prepared things for me. Look for the things that are prepared for you. Ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not like you've got to really like motivate them. It says he searches to and fro throughout the earth to find someone whose heart is after him. And when he finds that one, he strengthens them. So he is motivated right now. He's constantly searching. And when you sit there and say, like Isaiah said, "Hey, send me." Remember Isaiah? He was caught up and he's sitting there and he sees the Lord. And he sees the glory, and he goes, "Oh, woe is me, I am undone." And really what that means there is he's saying, "I should be destroyed. I'm so unclean, because I'm around people that have unclean lips." I don't know if everybody was cussing back then or what that means. It probably means more than that. You study it out and tell me. But it just, there were unclean lips around him. And he sat there, and what did God do? He took him, and he put the angel took a coal off of the altar, and it touched his tongue, and says, "Your iniquity is taken away." He took his sin away, and now all of a sudden, he changes his self-image. He goes from "I should be destroyed" to like now he's God's man. Now I am a prophet. Now he wants to go. "Hey, send me. I'm ready. I'll be your prophet." And so that's what's happened to you and to me. We are cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us and washed us. And we are the righteousness of God. And when you have that attitude, "Send me," he takes you on. He says, "I'll send you, but I'm going to prepare you first. If you need it, or maybe you're already ready." To be in the move of God is not to be in a place where there's a bunch of people just worshiping Him. You can call that revival all you want, all day long. The move of God is in the earth to the ends of the earth. It moves. It keeps moving. It doesn't stop in any place. It's a river. And we are streams. And when you come into the river of God, you lose your identity. And you become part of the bigger picture.
Let's get to what I wanted to teach on tonight. I mean, this is not what I want to teach on, but this is what He gave me. So go to Song of Solomon. Chapter 4, verse 15. This is a prophetic book. It's an awesome book. The first time I read it, I think, why in the world is this even scripture? It's all mushy. It's all about love and all this and that. And it's nice. I like being in love, but what's the point? But then I started to realize it's a prophetic book. I mean, it really is. And what I want to share with you tonight is, to me, a snapshot of what is going on right now on planet Earth. This is what is going on right now with you and with me. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "You are a fountain springing up in a garden, a well of living waters, flowing streams from Lebanon." Here we go. The streams, the river. You are a garden. It's talking about the body of Christ. We are the garden of the Lord. I love it when my garden goes good. In the back, my wife does it every year. It's always, money gets tight. She wants to go out and buy flowers. It just always stretches me. Why buy flowers? They're going to die anyway. You won't water them. You see how negative Todd gets? God has to work on me. And I just say, do get some beautiful flowers. And she did. She got some beautiful flowers. And now they're beautiful. I'm actually watering them so they stay alive. But the garden is so beautiful. When the flowers come up. Some of you guys see me. I do that little video. You can see the garden kind of behind me. And those are... she bought those. They're down kind of low, but she did all that. And I water them, see? And so I realized that there was a real purpose behind it beyond my little, small little pea brain, not thinking, I mean, Jesus looks and takes care of us like that. He sees us, He sees you as beautiful. He loves to come into His garden. He loves to come and water you. He loves the relationship. And it's you got the part where we enter into His presence, but you have the manifest presence of Jesus when He comes directly to you in those times and those seasons when you don't even expect it. When you weren't really necessarily even praying, He just shows up. And He's there because the atmosphere is just absolutely peaceful. And you just He kind of stands still and know that He's God. There's a stillness in the air. And your ears, your spiritual ears are primed to just listen. What is it that you have to say? Because that's part of prayer. It's not just talking to Him, it's listening. He wants to come into His garden. Read here. It says, "You have called me a garden," she said. "Oh, I pray that the cold north wind and the soft south wind may blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out in abundance for you who my soul delights. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits." There's another version of that. It says, "Awake, O north wind, and awake, O south wind. Breathe on my garden with your spirit, wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden." I mean, hey, listen to that. "Awake, O north wind." Now, let me tell you about the north wind. The north wind is a cold wind, and it will come in and refine things.
One thing I like about the north wind is it kills all the mosquitoes. It kills the bugs. It kills the things that you don't really need, but it things get dormant and they, you know, it's like there you see the refining process that comes with the north wind, the changing of the seasons. And the north wind blows on his garden. It blows on you and it blows on me, and it's a refining wind. And it's things that we need to die of sometimes. You know, some things die in the cold, you know, and there's some things in our life that God just, that the trials and the tribulations where these characteristics of us surface up, that we take care of those things. That's a refining wind. And the north wind is blown on the body of Christ, is refining us. But then it goes on and says, O south wind, awake, O south wind, and breathe on my garden with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. The south wind comes and things become alive. Things start to grow. Things become fruitful. Think of that for a second. The anointing that is in you permanently. You think about that south wind, how God can blow and stir you up and cause you to grow. It says in the word that some people water, some people plant, but who gives the increase? God. So if God gives the increase, is he limited to who he increases and how he increases and when he increases? We have to get an understanding, a revelation of what is about to happen in the planet Earth. It's not about what the world is doing, because it's going, you know, south in a sense. It's what is the church doing. The church is responsible in this nation for this nation. And if something needs to take place or change in this nation, in our land, it is up to us to make the change. Because we have the keys to what? To the kingdom. And there's been a change. People started to realize that things were getting so out of whack. People started going to their knees. They started praying. And there was change. And everything that God does is always to expand his kingdom in the earth. So he puts in kings and he takes them out. So, the sweet spice of life to me, spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. I like that, spare nothing. That's an attitude. Lord, spare nothing. You know, you recognize and you come to the place of not just your identity in him, but you say, spare nothing, just give me everything that I need to be like you. I want it. And it's something that can't be faked. It is a heart cry between you and the Holy Spirit. I want it. I don't, whatever you got, whatever you wrote about me, whatever, I want it all. I want it all because I want you glorified in this earth because you deserve the glory. And he positions you. And all of a sudden that flow, that river of God starts to come through you. Whoever you meet, whoever you contact, your congregation is everybody you know. You have a ministry. It says, look well to your flocks. Who are your flocks? Everyone in here has a flock. Look well to your flocks. When you start taking up that call and that responsibility, things begin to change. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a position of strength, in a position where you can see as an eagle sees, as it talks about those that wait upon the Lord, shall rise up like what? Like the eagle. And why are you waiting on the Lord? Because you're waiting on him for the assignments, for the exploits, for the reaching out. You're waiting on him. What is my assignment? You come back as a faithful servant and say, send me. Maybe you're supposed to go start a church. Maybe you're supposed to start a home group. Maybe you should start doing a word of the week like I do on my little video and start sending it to people. You've got something inside you, I'm telling you. Don't, it's great we have all these preachers. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me, okay? I'm just saying you got it. You are called. Now, Stephen was just serving tables, but these miracles that Jesus was doing around the guy. And he was a guy just like, you know, sitting there getting rocks thrown on him, saying, hey, forgive him. Now that's got to be, he really was transformed. Because I've said this here before, a couple rocks hit me, I start throwing a rock back at you. You know, I mean, could I really take it? Hey, thank you, give me another one. That's good. Hey, forgive them. They don't mean what, know what they're doing. I mean, he was so transformed, and in that position, when he gets transitioned, he sees the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Says, I see him sitting at the right hand as he's getting nailed. I don't know what it looked like. I'm assuming rocks were thrown. I don't know how they did it back then. Maybe it was big rocks. Maybe they were holding them down. I don't know. All I know is it's recorded what he said. And he was just serving tables. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. You're not limited. You've got the talent. If you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside of you, he's in there more than just hitchhiking a ride through life with you. You can sit there and get so full of preaching and so full of words, and you can get into the church. There's not nothing wrong with getting into church, but you can get lost in there, and you can actually worship and worship church instead of worshiping the King of Kings. And the evidence of you worshiping him is going out into the world. That is the evidence that you have him, because you want to tell the world about it. Satan has been very clever about keeping us within the walls. I dare any of these guys in this city to start sending out their people into the community on a Sunday. I dare them. Why not? What is it about? It's about sharing the word out there. Amen. I think you're getting delivered back there. We've been praying for you. Oh, is it? Okay. Sorry. We're praying for you too. Won't leave you out. Praise God. You have called me a garden and said, I pray that the cold north wind, the soft south wind will blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out in abundance for you in whom my soul delights. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits. Man, that's habitation. That's not just the visitation of God. It's not just coming into his presence. It's where he comes and he habitates. And it's an awesome thing. And you are his garden. He wants to habitate with you. He wants to manifest himself to you. He wants to spend some time with you. Get this. Go to your secret place. Go tonight to your secret place. Get alone with him. He will meet you there. He will be there. He will talk to you. He will unfold to you not just who you are in him, but what you're to do right now. You will get those assignments. And you'll change people's lives because he's working through you now. And your fulfillment, the fulfillment of when you carry out a work of the Lord, the fulfillment that comes from that, you cannot fake that. You know that you know that you know, I have finished the course. I have fought the good fight of faith. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He knew he completed his assignment. In fact, he even said, I would rather go than to be here, but it's better for you guys that I'm here. And not only that, he knew he was supposed to go all the way up into Spain. He was to go to the 70 nations that were scattered out back in the Tower of Babel. You just track his little where the gospel had to go to all of those places. This amazing story. And this thing, the thing about it is, this is such a, there's so much in here. I never get tired. There's so much in here. It's like every week there's something else that gets revealed that leaps out the page, and you get into the Word and you realize it's like you're feeding yourself, but you're like, you're there, and you realize that, you know, I am not from this world. That's what it said of Abraham and Noah and all those guys. They realized that they were just temporary residents. We're just renting. And then to know that future, that you see the New Jerusalem coming down and the Lord coming back and all those things we read about, we're all going to see them. We're going to experience them. The marriage supper lamb. I was thinking about this week, kind of food was going to be served. I was making myself hungry. I'm thinking, God, but the food is just so good. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. What kind of food is it going to be? We know that Jesus ate, but you up there, you eat, and I guess you just stay slim, or you just get a new body. You're just great all the time in your 30s. I mean, from what I understand, from what I hear, people have gone and come back. I mean, think of that. You can eat and eat and eat and just enjoy being in the presence of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb. You're invited to this meal. I mean, it's just something that I'm looking so much forward to. There's so much in here that you can just feast on and realize that, hey, I'm going to partake in that. And it lifts you out from these circumstances that have kept you down and kept me down over planet Earth. I mean, you know, to get upset over somebody buying flowers is just ridiculous. Or to get upset over, I mean, is there really anything really worthy of being upset over when you've got the Lord inside of you, when you're going to live forever? I mean, really, when you think about it and get right down to it, I know we got this flesh and we got to deal with it and we got to make it submit, and it's got its appetites, and we got to sit there and not listen to those things. But the point is, man, do we have a glorious future. And that should motivate you. It motivates me. And I'm looking for it. And the thing about it is, I get to spend it with you. And that's the cool thing about it, because there's so many people that you come across that you, hey, you know, I don't get to see you very often, but you came in town or whatever, you know, but you know, there I'll have time there. There'll be time. Well, actually, there'll be no time. But to get to know all the people throughout history, it's just amazing. We can only accept it in faith. A new heavens, a new earth. Amazing. Amazing. Praise God. Brother, I want to give you a word of encouragement right there. I met you earlier. You got the good-looking guy right there. Yeah, good-looking guy, I said. Yeah, that's you. Amen. God's so good. I want to give you a word of encouragement, okay? I want to tell you something. You know, that the thing about it is, the word of endurance comes up before me. And I see you being trained in the arena of endurance. And it says to endure until what? Until the end. And so you're coming up and you got just a little bit further to go, but if you endure to the end, you will receive what was promised. God says, don't fling your confidence away, because it has a great reward, because if you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. And so what the enemy is trying to do is to steal your confidence, because something hasn't yet birthed yet. But God says, I will birth it and I will bring it to pass. And if you open up your eyes, you will see my hand is upon it. But I am training you in the process. For God says, my hand is not too short. Not only can I restore, not only can I recover, but I can also rebuild. And that means something to you, brother. So I just want to encourage you. His hand is on you. He brought me here. He brought you here tonight for you to hear that. I don't know. He never met you. But he delivered that to you in Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Father. God is so good. Amen. Amen. My sister back there, as I said, look, I just see the song of the Lord just coming through you. I don't know if you sing a melody or hum or something, but I just see the melody of God just coming out of you. You know, I talked about the garden, and you know, as I was talking about the garden, I just you just kind of light up. I don't know if you have a garden or want a garden or whatever, but I just want to encourage you that the song of the Lord is going to just come and burst through you, and He's just going to give you words and just write them down and sing and hum. And you say, well, maybe I don't have a good carry tune. I can't either, but it doesn't matter. You know, when the song of the Lord comes, just sing it. You know, it's something that is pleasing unto Him. I don't know if you're a worshiper or what it is, but I think He just wants to hear you sing. I really do. I really believe that in all my heart. So there's something about there's a purity, there's a pure, fresh spring water coming up through you that touches the very presence, the very heart of God. There's something that you've done. You've pressed in and you've really touched the Lord with your love. And there's something that He's going to give you. There's like a present that He's going to give you. And it's the song of the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Amen. See, the song of the Lord just keeps flowing through here tonight. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I keep on, that word promise just keeps up for me as I looked at you. The promises of God. I see God taking you into the promises of the Lord. And I see the meditation of them. And they become life inside of you. Like they're real. You know, you can read something, you can hear something, but there's a difference with this because it's like an inside job. It's like when you read about the promises of God, it's like they're being birthed from inside and they're being released. And there's something about something that the Lord has promised you that hasn't not yet been fulfilled, but is on its way. Because He's never late, He's never early, He's just right on time. Amen. It's the promises of the Lord and the faithfulness that you have done, even in recent times. You've stood up and you've given the word of the Lord when you didn't feel like it, and you did it anyway. And that's exactly the trial and the test right now, to do it when you don't feel like it, and you just keep cranking it out. So you know what? I got another side of me. I'm like a dog with a bone in his mouth. I won't give up. And you just get up and you go and you keep doing it. God says He's encouraging that in you. That is the motivation of the Holy Spirit. And there is a blessing on the other side of that. So just keep it up in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that mean anything to you? Amen. Because it's scary, you know. I mean, it's hard to give a word over a prophetess sometimes. Amen. God is so good. No, she's such a blessing. I've known her for years, and man, I'll tell you, if you ever get a word of the Lord through her, she's just amazing, just amazing. Such anointing that just, you know, you get, God has a way of really just in the fiery trials, in the rejection, the fires of rejection. You know, you go through that. We call it pit, prophet in training, or pastor in training, or person in training, you know, it's the pit. But that when the fires of rejection come on you, you will be rejected. If you walk away, you will be rejected. But the fires of rejection does something to us. It brings a humility in a kind of a weird way. But it brings also a wanting to be accepted. But the wanting to be accepted, there's only one place to park that one. And that's with Jesus Christ. Because He accepts you. And so if you've been through rejection or you walk through rejection, just know to park it right at His feet. Amen. As a revival fire, my brother, that's coming up inside of you, man, I tell you, even as I was ministering tonight, I could see these words just being put down into your spirit. It's like you were getting message after message after message after message with confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. And now God is opening up a new avenue because I see a platform being set up for you, brother. And I mean that in a sense. It's a platform that's able to reach more people than you could even imagine. And there will be assistance. I see the assistance of the Lord coming around you where He motivates this one and that one and this one. And there's an assistance there because God is giving you a strategy to reach out. Even as I mentioned about the evangelistic move of the church outside the walls, you resonate with that. But God has already given you a strategy and a plan to implement that. And God says, don't hold back. Don't hold back and don't say, I don't have enough, because God says, I will supply. I will give you what you need. And God says the timing of the Lord is now. It's not 10 years from today. It's actually now. So God says, step out with what I've given and I will add. Step out a little bit more about what I've given and I will add more. I will continue to add until I complete that very work which I've given to you many years ago because the enemy tried to steal it. Now God is going to return it to you. In Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Praise you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is so good. You're an encouragement to me, man. There's a strength inside of you that is second to none. You know, it said, you know, somebody that, you know, if I was in trouble, if I was down, if I needed somebody, I would call you because you would come. You would come in the middle of the night. You are somebody that pulls somebody out of the mud over and over again. But what you didn't know, just as Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was fed and you fed me. You didn't realize it, but you have met the Lord many times in your life. You didn't know it was him. He comes in a form that we cannot recognize. He did on the road to Emmaus. He came in camouflage, spiritual camouflage. And you helped him when on the side of the road, time and time again. And you wonder, in fact, why do I have this ability? Why do I want to go out and assist and help? You know, when I need help myself. You know, I just want to cry. As I sat there, the Lord kind of popped this in my brain. There was a season where you were in lack. I mean, you didn't have much. And I just, in my spirit, see a young man that you helped out. And it wasn't easy for you, but you did it. And you planted a seed back then. And what you don't realize is you're about to reap a harvest over that one act. And God has opened up a door to you that you don't know about. And you're going to be amazed. Because, you know, we could have millions of dollars and not have any treasure in Jesus. But you are going to be rich in the treasures of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you. What is known in the word of the Lord as a gift of healings is now going to operate through your ministry. And those that are in need of help are now going to be the sick. And time again, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And don't feel like you got to make it happen. It's the Lord who makes it happen. Amen. He's responsible for the results, but the Holy Spirit chooses to give the gifts, and he's giving that to your brother in Jesus' name. Amen. That was so good. Praise you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. And my brother here, I feel like you should be teaching tonight. I don't know. I just look at you and I see the wealth of the Lord. I just see a man that has studied the Word and has been in the Word and dug in the Word and has heard many, many, many messages over a period of year and trying to make sense of it all. But it's like God is bringing a real focus in your life where it's like a Polaroid picture. Now it's coming into focus and you're a man of focus. Your words are focused. Your work is focused. I mean, everything you do is all about focus. And the words that you give, the word of wisdom, is a gift of the Holy Spirit that operates and flows through your ministry. And you will give many words to people of getting them direction time and time again. There are those that are seeking direction and you will be on the scene time and time again. Even ministers and even pastors that are kind of, you know, they seem to get blown here and blown there. You will steady them with a word of wisdom. Where they wouldn't listen to you before, they're going to listen to you now because it will be quickened of the word of the Lord. Because they're going to realize that you are devoted unto God, that you're not devoted unto man. And the word that you bring comes straight from the throne room. It doesn't come from a book. It doesn't come from the feeling. It comes straight from God because you're only concerned about seeing him glorified and you're unsatisfied. And that is a Holy Spirit unsatisfaction, by the way, because you don't see things have lined up the way they should. But God says, because I have put that inside you and because you have seen it and because you have sought me on it, I am going to use you in it. So he's going to send you in to solve the problems. Time and time again, you will be a problem solver. That word of wisdom is going to flow out like a river out of you, brother. And it's also going to cause the Lion of Judah to rise up within you because there's going to be a strength in your words. quick in your step. You're going to feel a quickening even within your body, because you're going to know that it's the Lord God that is within you, that is not just strengthening you, but he's speaking through you, because it is the rhema word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the rhema word of God. And the word of the Lord is going to come through you, brother. I'm not calling you a prophet, but I'm saying that the word of the Lord will come through you as it would be a prophet, because it's going to speak. It's going to be the mouthpiece of God. So just be encouraged and just be ready, because situations are going to come up where God opens those doors, and you're going to recognize this word is going to come up in your spirit. You're going to realize, ah, that's what he was saying. It's time. I got the word. I'm going to give it. And whether they do it or not, it's never personal. Here it is, and you walk away, because he's responsible for the fruit. Amen? God is so good. Praise Jesus. Are you married, sir? Are you married? Yes. Is your wife here? Okay. I just want to give you a word of encouragement for her. What's her name? James. This is being recorded, so you can get it later. It's Jane, you said? What's your wife's name?
Bonnie.
Okay. I just lift you up in Jesus' name. But I just want to give you a word of encouragement, Bonnie. I just want to tell you that the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy of the Lord, Bonnie, is not a feeling. It's actually power. And the trial that you're in right now, Bonnie, the trial that you're in, the thing that you're going through right now is just preparing you. It's just putting the characteristics of Jesus inside you to give you the ability to endure. And your endurance and the struggles you go through are always concerns about other people that are around you. And just know that your words are heard. The very first time that you prayed, the very time you put them before me, the Lord says, I heard them and I moved. But remember, one day is 1,000 years unto God. So in this realm, 1 hour in heaven is like 44 years here. So I am moving quickly on your behalf, and I will move on your behalf. But just know this, that the trial that you're under, that the reason why you count it all joy is because you can rejoice the fact that the trial is producing something inside of you that is of me. So be encouraged, Bonnie, in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Prophet, do you have any other things? Anybody else have anything? Doug, you got anything? Lewis, you have anything? You have something. Well, you're elected. You do.
While he was
getting time, turn it on. It's on.
There you go. When he was speaking the gospel to the ends of the earth, I had this revelation that Jesus, the ends of the earth were to the depths of the deepest hurt and the deepest wound, that God wants to bring that gospel to the ends of the earth. And the gospel is Isaiah 61. I'd seen once where when Jesus stood up in that temple and started reading Isaiah 61, and he was saying, this is my mission statement. He wants to heal the brokenhearted, to the ends of the earth, to the depth, to the depth, to the depth, to the depth. Not just to the surface, to the depth. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to trade beauty for ashes. He wants to give a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. That's really what he wants to do. That's the gospel. That's the full gospel. The healing, raising them up to be oaks of righteousness. To transfer them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The full gospel to the end of the earth. To the end, to the lowest place. The river runs to the lowest place of least resistance. And that river wants to run to the lowest place, to the deepest hurt, to inside the homes, to where people are crying, where people feel alone, to the deepest darkness, to the deepest death, to what we see as the deepest evil. He wants to flow. He wants to flow. He wants that gospel to reach the end of the earth. The end of the earth. Not just the physical earth.
Okay, my brother. God is stripping away, stripping away, stripping away all the stuff that you have in your head. He's stripping it away because he's turning you around to be the man of God he's called you to be. You have a mighty call of God in your life, but you think less of yourself, and God says, don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself as I see you. I see you as a, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. He says, I see you as a mighty man of God, a mighty man of God. And you need to wake up in the morning, you need to put on your mirror, I'm a mighty man of God. You're going to speak forth this word. It's like God, you have been in shackles for a long time. And God says, you need to shake them off. In fact, you need to do that. Shake them off with your hands. No, seriously, just shake them off. Because I feel like the Lord is really turning you around. He's setting your feet firmly. Where you've kind of like this and you don't know what to do, but God says, I'm giving you understanding. I'm giving you understanding of what your call is. I'm giving you an understanding of who you are. But you need to put on a mirror. You need to make him put on a mirror. I'm a mighty man of God. I'm a mighty man of God.
Anything back there, Lewis? Yeah. Amen. When Patty, when you walked in this place tonight, I saw you. I just had a vision of you, just an instant vision. And I saw you walking in waters that were up to here on you. And as you walked, those waters just like moved forward. And I felt a purity of the Holy Spirit just flood through this place. And God, I believe God Almighty wants you to be aware of the fullness of what he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. And you know, you've been around the block a few times. There's not a whole lot of things you haven't seen. But there's some greater things you're going to see in the days ahead. And this eye candy husband of yours is just the sweetest man that I've ever met. And the two of you just bring this wonderful, you know, togetherness. And, you know, and I was thinking about this movie that I saw many years ago with Dances with Wolves. And, you know, the lady that the guy met in the camp, and she was a woman who was captured by the Indians. Her name was some Indian name, but it was interpreted as stands with a fist, you know? Well, what I hear is your little phrase, the name that you're known by, and God only knows the name that you're, is the sound of many waters. And God is going to greatly use you. There's an anointing on you to bring the purity of the Lord into people's lives and to absolutely obliterate all trash, defilement, things like that, just in your presence, just the anointing that resides in you that's going to come forth from you, and it's going to bring a cleansing to God's people. You're not even going to have to say a whole lot. It's just this living water, this pure water is going to flow out of you and bring healing and deliverance and a cleansing to the people of God. And your days will be long and be very effective, and you are greatly needed in the body of Christ. God has spent a great deal of time over the years perfecting you, developing you, and making you what you are today. And do not allow that to go to waste. Make yourself available. Just be in the presence of people. Be in the presence of God's people. and God is going to do it. And this man that you're sitting next to is a gift from God for you, and he will protect you. He will watch over you. He will give you words of wisdom in timely fashion. God is going to revolutionize your family, your grandchildren, your children. The Spirit of the Lord is going on your behalf. It is working in their hearts, is bringing awakening within them. Things that you have said they will not be able to refute, things that will echo in their hearts over and over and over again, so they can no longer resist and they surrender completely to it. God is working in the hearts of all your children, all those of your lineage. And until Jesus comes back, what you have will be, God has created within your life a stronghold of righteousness. And this stronghold shall be a place of safety and refuge for many, but also for your family and all your children and so forth. And this matriarch that you are in your family. So, and I know as I'm saying that you give all the glory to God. And also within all this, there is a tremendous rest that you will walk in. You don't have to strive, you don't have to try it or anything. There's a rest. You will sense this rest more and more and more as the days ahead. Whatever happens in the world, whatever calamity is around you, your rest will go deeper. Because within you, there's a saying that all is well. The peace cannot be snatched from you. The peace that God has placed upon you and placed upon your household, there is no army of hell that can come against it. It will not prevail. So that's the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And sir, you back there, this woman you said has a song in her heart. Is that the one back there? I met you back there, I went over there and I had a vision for you, and I just want to do my best to explain this vision that I had. And I saw a light shine from heaven. And I saw God Almighty, and if I could phrase what I saw, is the architect of the universe. And this, our great architect, God Almighty, created the world by wisdom, as the Bible says. And he is reaching down to you and is beckoning you to hear the voice of wisdom. It is his desire to shower you with his wisdom, to give you a wisdom that transcends all the wisdom of this world, and a knowing that you have this wisdom. This wisdom will be like a mighty sharp sword that will divide through all the crap of this world, all the bad counsel, all the bad teaching, all the things that have been proclaimed over you and your wife. You'll be able to sift it by the Spirit of God, by this wisdom that the Lord has given you. And there's coming in you where this sifting process is going on. You're going to sift this stuff out and reject it. And you will hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you and say, do this and do this. Touch this and do not touch that. Hear this word and reject this word. And the Lord will know that, because this thing is going to settle down upon your shoulders. You will walk in it. You'll be cloaked in it. And you will have this thing that men of old have desired to have. Armies have pursued and desired to have the treasures of the Lord, which is his wisdom. Therefore, says God, I am bestowing upon you the treasures of heaven, my treasure. I will give you a chest that you will open up, and it will be filled with the gold of my kingdom, for it will be the abundance of my wisdom, says God. It is yours, says the Spirit of the Most High. Therefore, now the Lord himself seals this word in you, and it will be effective, will not return void, and your words will be seasoned so profoundly, and you'll be careful of everything you speak. You will study and meditate on it, and you will hear the voice of the Lord, and then you will speak and declare his wisdom, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And Tara, there's something inside me that's been staring for you for a while. God has seen your calamity. He has seen the wars happening on all sides. He has seen your times where you look to the left and you look to the right and you just see nothing but calamity. You see it coming in this way and you say, God Almighty, I cannot handle this. This is coming to me from all sides. I can't handle much more. And as the prophet of the Lord in the Old Testament said, I think it was Elijah, his servant went outside and saw all the mountains all around him, and there were chariots and a multitude of soldiers. And he ran back into the house. He said, oh, man of God, he says, we are surrounded and with fear and trembling. And the Lord says, open up his eyes. He says, and let him see there's more of God and more of us than they are. And he went there, and then behold, his eyes were open, and he saw the army of the Lord, angels of the Most High, surrounding the whole place. And that is what is coming, a revelation of what you will finally see, the clearness, the fullness of what God has done and what he's doing in your life, that there are more of him than there are of them. You will not fail, says the Spirit of God. I will see to it that you will not fail. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen your grip. I will strengthen your heart. I will strengthen your gaze. You will not fail, says the Spirit of the Lord. God will not allow. And Terry, I told you this vision I had of you. I saw you standing with a storm hitting you. You being buffeted by debris in the atmosphere and wind hitting you. But I saw you lean forward, and I saw you declare, I will not move. So you have standing at times. It is hard to stand, but nevertheless, you ain't giving up ground. But the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you this. There's something you really need to know. God says, in this standing, I have bestowed upon you the gift of faith. Yeah, you shall heal. I will use you as my instrument to heal. But I have given you, bestowed upon you, crowned you with the gift of faith. And this faith will be unmovable. This faith will not sway from side to side. This faith will only look forth with a gaze and say, I will not be moved. This faith will be imparted to those around you. This faith will be contagious and get a hold of them. And they will say, I got faith too. Faith will be bred out from your life, will take hold in the hearts of others, and they will say, I see it, sister, I see it. We won't move either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing, deliverance, and faith to bring in the harvest. Faith to see it happen, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Terry, I had a vision of you back there as well. There's a lot going on back there, by the way. But sir, Terry's husband. You know, Robert, the men Robert. always the guys that, you know, when people meet Linda says, oh, hey, Linda. Oh, and this is Linda's husband. What's your name again? No, I say that in jest. Robert. God says, I'm going to anoint you like lightning. I'm going to put a bolt in your brow and in your spine, says God. You will be my rescuer. I will send you out, says God, to rescue those who have lost their way, to rescue those who are down and out, to rescue those who have been trampled on, to rescue those who have been tossed to the side. You are my rescuer, says the Lord. I'll put you on a horse, maybe 320 horsepower, whatever's in you. I'll send you to people, and I will I'll put a strength in your arm. You will lift them up with power and authority, and you'll speak the word of the Lord that God has sent you there to redeem by his power. You are my rescuer, says the Lord. You will come in the days ahead. You will sense my power and my spirit upon you, says the Lord God. There'll be a clear mission in your mind. Your mind will be so clear. All the clutter I'm removing, says God. All the things that will try to bring confusion to you, I'm removing, says God. And I will fix your gaze upon me. You will see me. And you'll hear my cry and you'll hear my call. And you say, honey, I got to go. There's someone the Lord's put on my heart. And you'll go and redeem them, says God, by his power and his spirit. Amen. Doug, let me tell you something the Lord has shown me. You know, you kind of look like a Roman. When I see you walk into a room, I see this long toga on you, like the Romans used to wear. And there's a regalness about you. You know, and you just walk about and you're just like, well, here he comes. And the Lord says, that toga that you've been wearing, I'm about to rip it off. God says, I'm giving you a new toga, a new covering for the days that are ahead. A new garment, says God, a fresher anointing, a fresher purpose, a clearer word. You know, there's this old saying, you've been weighed in the balance. And they said, you've been found wanting. No, you've been weighed in the balance. God says, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to increase your influence, increase your word, but there's also going to come about your soberness. There's a greater soberness that God's going to bring you into. Soberness of the time that you're in, a soberness of the people that you're around, that you not waste time, that you hear more clearly, that your timing is more clever and more direct. Timing is everything. Spirit of the Lord's telling me to tell you, timing is everything. And I'm going to make you keenly aware of my time, says God. You'll be a man who hears the tick of the clock of heaven. You will hear the heartbeat of God. You'll know the timing, when to speak and when not to speak. And your words will be effective, says the Lord. A new toga. A new garment. A new weight, but a great kind of weight. A new heavy thing on you, but a great kind of heavy, because it will be light to you. Many cannot carry it, but you can carry it because whatever you've been through, your heart has always been for the Lord. Amen. And God says, I see you for who you really are, and I see you for who you really are. As the Spirit of God. But remember what I've said, timing is very, very important. Be very aware of your time and of your timing. In the past, there have been times where you've kind of missed the rhythm. I have too. But you have learned the beat of the Holy Spirit. You have learned the rhyme. You have learned the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, that's why this word comes, that this toga shall be put upon you. And you'll have it and you'll be fully aware of how it all works together and how the time all works together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's pretty much all I got.
Amen. We let them out every now and then. It's interesting when you see people, you know, one of the things that you kind of see or hear so many different ministers is how the Spirit of God moves through different people and uses our personalities. And it's just a unique thing. It's like everybody's so unique. Not two people are the same. I mean, even twins, you know, it's so unique how God has made us all unique. You know, so I just feel Star like it's, I know you're sitting way over there in the back, you know, but I picked you up. I just feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you it's not going to be that much longer. I don't know what you're waiting on, but it's just about, I might have even given that to you last week, I can't remember, but it's just about done. It's like baking a cake. You know, if you take it out too early, it just like this. But if you take it out at the right time, then it sits right, you know, and then you can actually put some icing on it, you know. But if it's too early, it just isn't ready. So just know that it's just the timing of the Lord, but just be encouraged. It's not that much longer. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Lord, let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. God, I ask you to
whatever has been done here, Lord God, has been of you, that it would go deep within our hearts, Lord, that you would send things to water it and to give us increase as you're in your time and in your wisdom. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And we just thank you, Lord. I just ask you for these that are here tonight, Lord God, that you'd fill us up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a website. It's tgosc.com. It's thegatheringofsouthcarolina.com. Just remember the initials, tgosc.com. All these prophecies are recorded. They need to be tested. You know, you get a prophecy, better be, if it's not from the Lord, then bring some rocks next time. Small ones. Gotta hit you again. I just don't want to see that cane anymore. I know, I really do. Lord, I just want to see what you're doing. Right? Please come together. Your power is light for the most. In Jesus' name.